pull up a chair? I want you to smell it first, cut grass and 100 low-lead bratwurst smoke drifting over from the food stands. Warm aluminum baking in the July sun. That's Oshkosh right now, this very week, at Whitman Regional Airport in Wisconsin, the biggest gathering of airplanes and the people who love them anywhere on the face of the earth. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Taildragger, and you're listening to The Hangar. And today I don't want to talk about a warbird or a racer or some polished piece of factory hardware. Today I want to talk about a man and a little red and white airplane and an idea so simple it changed everything. The man's name was Paul Poberesny. Now here's where it gets interesting. Before we get into his story, let me tell you who's keeping the lights on today. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSold.com. Aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo private pilot instrument rating all the way up. And you know a man like Poberesny understood that better than anybody. Every rating, every check ride, every hard-won hour means something. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at AviationSold.com. All right, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 1937. There's a teenage kid who gets handed a wreck, a glider, a wrecked Waco primary glider that somebody had bent up and given up on. Most kids would have walked away. This kid didn't. He rebuilt it. Taught himself mostly with grease under his fingernails and a stubborn streak a mile wide. And when he finally got it into the air, something got into his blood that never left. That kid was Paul Poberesny. He went off and did what men of his generation did. Flew in the army, instructed, flew all kinds of iron, everything from little liaison ships to bigger military hardware, thousands of hours across decades of service. The man could fly anything with a wing on it, but that's not why we remember him. We remember him because of what he did in his garage. Picture post-war America. The 1940s rolling into the 50s. Guys are coming home from the war, they've tasted flying, some of them, and they can't shake it. But a brand new factory airplane? Out of reach for a working man? And if you wanted to build your own airplane, well, the government and the establishment looked at you like you were a lunatic. A menace. Home-built airplanes were treated like some kind of dangerous nonsense cooked up by basement tinkerers. Poberesny didn't see it that way. He saw a brotherhood. He saw a bunch of guys scattered all over the country, each one alone in his own garage, bending tube and stitching fabric, and nobody to talk to, nobody to share plans with, nobody to say, hey, how'd you solve that landing gear problem? So on a January evening in 1953, Paul Poberesny got a handful of like-minded fellas together in the basement of the Airport Administration Building down in Milwaukee, around 3 dozen men. And they founded a little club. They called it the Experimental Aircraft Association, the EAA. Now stop and think about that word. Experimental, they wore it like a badge, not a warning label, a badge. That first fly-in was held at Curtis Wright Field near Milwaukee later that same year. A modest little gathering, a few airplanes, some home builders kicking tires and swapping lies. And that sparked that fellowship Paul was after. It caught fire. And here's the airplane. Let me tell you about the airplane. Poberesny designed a little low-wing single-seater. Simple. Honest. Something a working man could actually build in his garage with hand tools and a dream. He called it the Baby Ace, and then came a version dear to his heart. He flew for years. Painted up red and white. He registered it, and it wore a name that became legend in EAA circles, Little Poop Deck. Some of the old-timers called his personal ship. That airplane became a flying billboard for the whole idea. If Paul could build it and fly it, so could you. That was the message. You, yes, you can build an airplane, you can fly it. You don't need to be rich, you don't need a factory, you need a set of plans, some tube and fabric, patience, and the guts to start. The movement exploded.
The fly-in outgrew Milwaukee. It moved to Rockford, Illinois through the late 50s and the 60s, and it kept growing. More home builds. Then the warbird crowd started showing up. Then the antiques and classics, the vintage iron. Then the aerobatic performers. Rockford couldn't hold it anymore. And in 1970, the whole show moved north to a field in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Whitman Regional Airport, named for Steve Whitman. But that's a story for another day. And Oshkosh, well, Oshkosh became the promised land. Now here's the part that gets me right in the chest. This is where it gets interesting, because Poberesny built something bigger than a club and bigger than a fly-in. He built a family. He ran that organization for decades, poured his whole life into it, and his wife Audrey was right there beside him the entire way. They called her the First Lady of Flight, and she earned every letter of it. And their son Tom grew up in it and carried it forward. Ran the convention for years himself. Think about what this man started. 3 dozen guys in a basement in 1953, and now, this week, every single July, better than 500,000 people pour through the gates at Oshkosh. For 1 week, Whitman Field becomes the busiest airport in the entire world. The control tower handles more traffic than anywhere on the planet. airplanes landing on colored dots on the runway, three at a time, wingtip to wingtip. Walk the grounds this week and you'll see all of it. The home-built Rose, where Paul's dream lives on in carbon fiber and riveted aluminum, thousands of airplanes built by hand in garages just like his. The vintage Rose with the Cubs and the Wacos and the Stinsons gleaming in the sun. Warbird Alley thundering with Merlins and radials, ultralights buzzing at dawn, kids at the KidVenture tent bucking their first rivet. And it all traces back to one stubborn kid from Milwaukee who rebuilt a wrecked glider and refused to believe that flying belonged only to the rich and the licensed and the establishment. Paul Pobrezny flew west in 2013. He was 91 years old. But you cannot walk a single foot across those Oshkosh grounds this week without feeling him everywhere, in every hand-built wing. In every grinning homebuilder standing next to the airplane he made with his own two hands. In every kid who looks up and thinks, maybe I could do that too. Because that was always the answer Paul gave. Yes, you can. The details on Pobrezny's life and the founding of the EAA come from the Experimental Aircraft Association's own historical archives and museum, right there on the grounds at Oshkosh, and from Paul's own writings over the years. If you're at AirVenture this week, walk through the EAA Aviation Museum and pay your respects. And if you're not, you can find us anytime at radiohangar.com. This is Taildragger, Grass Field, Warm Engine, Good Company. That's the whole secret, and Paul knew it before any of us. See you out on the flight line.